Hey, I want to welcome everybody that's online today. You're not in the building, but you're watching us from somewhere else. Welcome to San Marcos, wherever you're watching, whenever you're watching. These services go on the archive, and so people watch these weeks later, months later, even years later. And so whenever you are, wherever you are, we love you. We pray that God's present with you where you are. Let's give all of our online folks a hand right now. What a great day so far. We've had two other services before you guys got here. We had an 8:15 service, and then we had the 9:45 service. The 9:45 service was packed. There was not hardly any seats available in the entire room. When we had the kids come up and pray, there was just kids as far as the eye could see up here, packed. And then now you're here, the 11:30, bringing us home. Glad that you're here. I'm Robin Steele, pastor of the church. If I haven't met you yet, I would love to meet you and get to know you. Let's go to the Bible. We're gonna do a lot of scripture today. And as my prayer, we're going to start with Romans, the first chapter. If you got a Bible, turn there with me. Romans, the first chapter. Our prayer is that as the word of God is read across this congregation today, that it is like seeds thrown to the wind, and let the wind carry them, but then let them fall on good soil. And I pray, and I hope your prayer is, that our hearts are ready to receive the word of God today, and that it is going to make a difference, that the word of God makes a difference in everybody's life. It's not me, it's not the way I talk or what I'm saying, but it is the word of God doing a work. In fact, why don't we pray right now? Would you just stop for a second and let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this message is fresh and new right now. It is like your living bread, giving us life, giving us hope for our future. God, may it be clarifying to us. May it lead the way for us. May it be a beacon of hope for us as we go about our life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we're in the middle of a sermon series called Resolved. And obviously, it's at the beginning of the year. It's about setting up 2016. And today, I want to continue that same theme and talk about the word resolve, the concept of being resolved about different things of your life. And that's a big word. We don't usually use the word resolved because it is so meaty and thick, and it's got a whole lot of meaning behind it. Firm or purpose, determined to come to a definite decision, to be firm in your intent. So it is a posture. It is a state of mind to be resolved about a person, a place, a thing, a habit, an action, to be resolved. Today, I want us to focus on one aspect of our faith, and that is in 2016, I want to be resolved to live in the light. And I'm just making that statement. I am resolved to live in the light. There's very clear in Scripture, I'm about to read to you, there's an option. You don't have to live in the light. You can live in what's opposite of the light, which is
darkness.
That's right. Romans 1, the 18th verse. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. This opening text is just like, I love the way the writer says, duh, God exists. Did you see the sunrise this morning? Did you see the sunset this week? Did you just, on Friday night, we went out to dinner in Wimberley, and we were going over the hills of between here and Wimberley from Kyle down 150 all the way to Wimberley. The sun was setting. It was amazing. Not a cloud in the sky. You could see the gradation between the darkness over here, and then it went all the way to the brilliant oranges and purples of the sunset. And what the writer of Romans 1 is saying is, duh, don't you realize when you see that's no accident? When you see the trees blooming and the grass blooming, here in a couple months, we're going to go outside. There's going to be blue bonnets bursting forth and paintbrush and the buttercups and all the different flowers and trees and grass. It's all going to be bursting forth. And when we see those things, it's so clear and evident that that's not an accident. That didn't just happen, but God created this earth. He created the synchronicity of the weather and the sun and the oxygen and all the elements of the planet. And it's all working together to provide what we see and what we experience. When you go to the beach and you just sit out on the beach and it sucks all the stress out of your life, or you go to the mountains and you breathe in the pine trees and you look across the vast expanse of the mountains and you just see how amazingly big the planet is and how beautiful the planet is, you understand there is a God out there. Verse 21, yes, they knew God, but they didn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So in that day and time, Paul's the one that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, and what he's explained to them, as we understand, there's people that have made false gods. They've made idols out of stone, out of gold, out of other materials, out of marble, and then they're shapes of people's faces or they're shapes of animals, and they bow down and worship these false gods and these idols that they have created. As we read that in 2016, we're seeing that passage. We say, well, that's not us. Like, we don't have those. I haven't worshipped a snake in a long time. You know, I haven't bowed down to animals or other people or whatever it is. And so we could think that maybe we have a pass on this scripture. Well, we're not that bad. We haven't done that. And what Paul is actually saying is that, hang on, 2016. You don't get a pass on that one. You actually have some things that you have looked towards, and you have replaced God with some of the things of this earth. And it may not be reptiles or animals or birds or people, but it's things like you want approval so bad that you'll do anything to get approved by your family members or a spouse or your friends at school. You want promotion, you want money, you want fame, you want success so bad that you would cut corners, you would do things that are not of God's plan in order to achieve something on this planet of temporal nature. You know, that you want, so many people in our day and time, they want to be comfortable. They want to not have any issues, no problems. And so they will do anything they can find. They will date anybody they can find in order to have a mate. They will hang out with anybody they can find to have companionship. They would cheat. They would cut corners. They would do things they knew were unethical or even immoral in order to have some sort of gratification come from them. And he's saying whenever we do that, whenever we do look to these other things, these other people, these other activities, we have shifted God. We've taken God off of the throne of our life, and we've put something else, whether that's your job, your happiness, your peace, your contentment. We're trying very hard to prop these things up to make us feel better, to make us feel comfortable. I spent pretty much the whole sermon last Sunday talking about this topic right here. So if you missed this past Sunday and you didn't get that message, I encourage you to go back and listen to that. And if you were here last Sunday and you didn't hear that message, that part of the message, go back and listen to it again, because it's really, really important. We have taken some things that are possibly good things, like work. Work's a good thing. God wants us to work. God wants us to earn a living. God has given us a job. God has given us income. He wants us to do that. But when we take a good thing like work and we put it on our pedestal and say it's the main thing, advancement, getting notoriety, getting more money, whenever that becomes the most important thing, then we've replaced God with this false god or this idol. And so look at what verse 24 says. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Americans have traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Now, before you get too critical, I did change the word there in the Bible. Verse 25 originally did not say Americans have traded the truth. So they have traded the truth. I'm not saying that the Americans is in the Bible, but it is very applicable to us today. People of San Marcos, people of Promised Land, people of Hays County, people of Travis County have traded the truth about God for a lie. Things that we have known to be true for so long, we have exchanged them for something that other people have told us would be okay. We have exchanged it with other things that people have presented to us to be important, to be the most important thing. And so what this passage is telling us is that God is saying, okay, if this is the way you want to live, then I am releasing you to live in this way. And you will take all the consequences and all the benefits that you can get from living this way. I'm basically releasing you to live according to the way you want to live. And I was, after last Sunday, I was eating lunch. I'd preached three times, you know. I had really been trying hard, giving it my best. Just like I am today, trying hard, giving God my best. Preaching. You know, I get to eat lunch and I'm just wiped out. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm just eating my lunch. And while I'm eating lunch, these two young kids come up to me that had been in church that day. And they said, hey, Pastor, we want to ask you a question. We want to ask you a question about something. Why did God allow evil to be in the earth? Why didn't he just create the earth to be the way, you know, it was in the Garden of Eden? No problems, no evil, no darkness. And I just kind of was like, can I just eat my lunch while I'm here? Do I have to answer these questions, you know? But this text right here that I'm reading to you today is an explanation of why the world is in the state that it is today. That God created a plan and he gave Adam and Eve clear instructions. If you will live in this way, if you will follow my directions, everything's going to be completely amazing and perfect. Here's the plan. Here's the way life is. Here's this and here's that. And he lays it all out for Adam and Eve. He tells them, don't eat of this tree. The only thing I don't want you to do is just don't eat of this one tree. And he just laid it out for them. It's very clear for them. Then the lies start presenting themselves to Adam and Eve. Hey, you know what? You don't need to believe that. You don't need to believe what God told you, and leads them down this path. And before we're too critical of Adam and Eve, everybody else that has been born since has done something to rebel against God. We all have. We've all done things that have rebelled against God. And so this passage is saying, basically, God's response to us is, if you want to live in a way that's opposed to the plan that I gave you, then I am going to release you to live according to that plan, and you'll have all the consequences that that entails. So verse 26 says this, that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and indulged and sex with each other, and the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burn with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. I want to take that last phrase of that last sentence, and I really want us to look. It says, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. So it has listed in verse 26 and verse 27 some very prominent sins that we might acknowledge: homosexuality, any kind of other sexual sin that's outside of God's plan. God says, okay, go ahead. If you want to, you know, I'm releasing you. I'm not forcing you. This is not something that I'm making you do. You can live however you'd like to live, and you can participate in that and partake in that, and I'm letting you go. But then it says at the very end, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. We see in this passage and several others that when we do something that's against God's plan, we are actually going to suffer two types of consequences. We're going to suffer an earthly consequence that would happen while we live on this planet. And it may not be immediately. We may go a while before that sin catches up to us because nobody's ever heard about it. No, we're kind of doing it in private. We're doing it in secret. But then the Bible does say that your sins will find you out. It will come out. It will be known. And when that happens, there'll be some earthly consequences for the things that you do that are wrong. And an example of that would be you break the law. When you break the law, then the government will bring you before the court. You will be tried, and you'll have to suffer the consequence of the mistake that you did when you broke the law. So you'll have to pay a fine, or you'll have to do jail time, prison time. You'll have to go to probation, you know, serve probation. There's all these different penalties for the way you broke the law. It all depends on how you. So that's an earthly consequence. There's other earthly consequences that are not legal. You know, when we do something immoral, there's a consequence for that. We do something against a spouse or something against our kids. There is relational consequences to that. People will leave us. People will betray us. People will do all kinds of things because of the sin that we've committed in our life. So that's the earthly consequence of sin. That's the first consequence. But there's also eternal consequence to sin. Whenever we sin, we not only experience the earthly consequence, but there's an eternal consequence. And the scripture says in verse 27, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. That's both eternal and natural, like right now, what we experience. Verse 28, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. There's ways people sin in 2016 that they didn't even exist when he wrote this text. We could fill in some blanks there about, oh yeah, I know about, you know, all these other things. And then look at this very last thing. They disobey their parents. Can you believe that? He includes that in there right along with murder, sin, wickedness, envy, deception, malicious behavior. And then we have things like gossip, where we just are so enthralled with other people's junk. Oh, yeah, it's so good just to hear other people failing and other people having problems. Our ears are just eating that up. We just thrive on hearing other people's mess because it begins to prop us up and make us feel better about ourselves when we hear other people's junk. And yeah, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I can't believe about what they, you know, just listening to all of this mess. That's gossip, and that is a sin. That's not what honors God. He goes on to say, they refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet do them anyway. They don't have control over themselves. They're lost in this darkness. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. So not only are people living in the darkness of this world, this generation that we live in, but we are like, hey, everybody come with us. Come live in the mess that we're living in, and they want other people to participate with them. But look what 1 Peter 2 and 9 says. It's so perfectly synced up with Romans 1. It says, but you are not like that. There's this awakening. You are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful what? Light. Come on, say it again. Say light. He called you out of all that mess in Romans 1 that we just read, and he's called you into the light of God. I want to make something so clear to you today, though. 1 Peter 2. Peter is the one that wrote this. He is not saying, this is not what happened. He did not seek out everybody he could find and finally find one sect of people that had never sinned before and say, we finally found this one group of people that never sinned before. You're the chosen people. You're the royal priesthood. You're the holy nation. Everybody needs to look to this one group of people that have never sinned and they're so perfect and they've done everything right. That's not what Peter was talking about. Instead, what Peter was saying is, here are a group of people in 2016. They've gathered to worship God at Promised Land San Marcos, and they are a part of the light of God. Not because they have nailed it this week and made it, did everything just right, just perfect this week, and now they're in the light. But instead, they are part of the royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession, because they understand that Jesus Christ is the way. Looking to him as the author and the finisher, the author of their faith, the finisher of their faith. Romans 1, let's go back to that very first passage that we read and look what he has to say, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by what? By what? Faith. By faith. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. I want you to see the word power, the word life, for it is the power of God at work. And then that very last statement, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the power of God at work. So when Peter was addressing the people in that letter that he wrote and the text I just read, he was talking to people that understood what Paul was saying here in Romans, that Jesus Christ is the way. He is the power that brings us into this family of God, and it is through our faith in him that we're included in the family. We're adopted into the family. It is through faith. Faith says this. I really don't understand exactly what's going on. I don't have it all figured out. But faith is, as Kenneth Phillips said the other Wednesday night when he was here, faith is holding on to nothing until it becomes something. Faith is the evidence of things that we don't see. It is the substance of that miracle, that work of God that is being worked out in our life. Until we see it, we have faith that God has ordained it. That first begins with our salvation. We don't have clarity that we are saved. We're screwed up. We're messed up. We did all kinds of things wrong. But we have faith that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he lived the life he lived, that he went to the cross for our sins, that he rose from the dead. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We have faith, we trust in him, and it is through this faith in him that we become righteous.
Thank you, Lord.
1 John 1. Amen. 1 John 1, 5 through 9. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is light. Whenever you see that word light in the Bible, I want you to think of it in two ways. It is the power, as I just read in Romans 1. It's the power, the light. God is light. God is power. There's another word in the Bible that's used a lot. That is grace. You probably heard that a lot. Those of you that have been in church, amazing grace. How sweet the sound, right? There is the light of God. It is the grace of God. It is the power of God. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves. This is an illumination. This is the light coming to you today. There is deception in the world. There's deception saying, oh, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. You're okay. You're good. Remember what you did last week? Remember you helped the old lady cross the street? You're good. You've done good. You're okay. You're well. Don't worry about this. Everything's good. But there's this deception that the evil one can bring into you to blind your eyes, so you cannot even see the sin that you're so easily entangled into. And in 12 and a half years of pastoring this church, I have counseled with people that have told me to my face, I believe it is God's will for me to get a divorce. I have not had any infidelity. My husband has not had any infidelity. My husband loves me. It's been faithful to me. I just had a dream. God told me I was supposed to get a divorce. Deception. Totally deceived. Totally believing a lie about God. Totally believing a lie about life. Totally lost and entrenched in the darkness. And everybody's led into that darkness in different ways, at different temptations, different carrots that the evil one dangles out in front of you to get you off of the path, to get your vision off of God and into the darkness. But this scripture, as we read it, it's why it's so important to read scripture. It's why it's so important to come to church. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here to hear the word of God today from Romans 1. There is deception. There is darkness. But also listen to 1 John 1 and 2. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. We all have sin in our life, whether we want to admit it or not. This is the word of God. But if we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all wickedness, to cleanse us from the darkness. So our message today, the message today is, I'm resolved to live in the light. In 2016, I'm resolved to live in the light. I'm not going to live in the darkness. I'm not going to live in the deception of the world. I'm not going to be stuck in some lie about God. If it's opposed to the word of God, if all the other believers that I'm connected to are telling me that it's the wrong direction, if God is showing me that and I'm still trying to be trapped in it or lost in it, God, reveal to me your light. Lord, I'm resolved to live in your light. This is my confession of my faith. My confession of faith. Now, we all, I shouldn't say we all, but most of us in here understand a confession of our faith for our salvation. I want everybody to be very, listen to me closely. We all have a confession of our faith for salvation. Most of us. We understand that that's the truth of God. That we look to Jesus Christ. I need y'all to pay attention when I'm up here. Thank you. We all have this first realization that we're lost and that we need to trust God for our salvation. I can't accomplish that on my own. So that's our confession of faith that oftentimes we pray. Lord, please understand that my heart is surrendered to you. I am humbling myself before you. In a few minutes, we're going to be praying this exact prayer. It's a prayer of submission. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I acknowledge you today that you are the Savior. I am not the Savior. I can't do this on my own. I'm looking to you to be my Savior. That's a confession of our faith. We're resolved to be looking to Jesus for our salvation. And because of his mercy, we're saved. Mercy is the unmerited forgiveness, meaning we have not earned this forgiveness. Mercy is the beautiful, beautiful forgiveness of God that we have not earned. Mercy. It's a beautiful thing. And we confess our faith. And I encourage you, if you don't do that, join us in that. Join us in the confession of your faith for the mercy of God to be displayed in your life, the forgiveness of God. But here's what today's message is. Today's message is I'm resolved to live in the light. I'm resolved to live in the grace of God. The mercy of God is the unmerited forgiveness of God. The grace of God is the unmerited blessing and favor and power of God. So he forgives us when we're not worthy of it because of his mercy, but he blesses us with the light and the power and the blessing and the favor of God, and we don't deserve that either. So in 2016, don't just stop at, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. You've cleansed me. We're going to resolve to live in the light of God as well, the power of God as well, the grace of God as well. Are y'all with me this morning? It's so important. It's so important to be resolved to live in the light. I want to finish with this one passage, and then I want to close in prayer. It's this, Matthew 5:14. After you leave here, almost those of you that have been around here for a while know that I pray a prayer of benediction, and I send you out. And I usually quote 5:13 and 14, be the salt of the earth. But then I say this in verse 14, you are the light of the world. And when this, you got to understand what this text is coming from. This is not God. This is not a message to God. God, you are the light of the world. This is Jesus' voice talking to us. You are the light of the world. And that can be a little intimidating. That can be a little difficult. Man, I am the light of the world like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Would you stand with me this morning, and would you join with me in prayer right now? When Jesus spoke this to the people there, this is the Sermon on the Mount, a very, very famous time when Jesus spoke to his followers. You are the light of the world. He wasn't telling us that we're the Savior, that we're going to generate light. Okay, we got to get up in the morning. Okay, got to get the light. Got to generate the light. That's not what he was saying. What he's saying is you're going to go into dark places. And you're going to be a vessel that my light shines forth. So you're going to get some bad emails. You're gonna have some conversations that you don't like. You're gonna get some phone calls. In fact, this week, some folks in our church got some phone calls that were very difficult to hear. Darkness phone calls. Darkness phone calls. When those things happen, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're not going to be intimidated or surprised by that darkness. We're not gonna be shocked. Oh my goodness. we're going to understand as believers that God has called us into that darkness to be the light. We count it a joy. Now, there's so many scriptures, I can't get into them right now, but Jesus and then Paul and the whole New Testament says, count it as a joy when trials and tribulations come. Paul said, in my weakness, I'm made strong. When darkness rears its ugly head, when you get that call, when you get that text, that email, that phone, when you see that person, when that darkness comes, it is a sign to you that you have been called by God to reflect His light in that situation. And oh my goodness, that's a humbling experience. It sometimes can be intimidating, thinking, oh my goodness, I don't have this, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do here. I'm not experienced. I've never been in this conversation before. I've never experienced this situation before. That's why I didn't want to become a pastor at 26, 12 years ago, because I said, man, there's so many things I don't know. What if people ask me about these questions I don't know the answer to? What if these other things? And it's so amazing how God didn't make sure that I had it all together and knew everything before I became a pastor. He said, come, follow me. Trust in me. I'm going to show you the way. You're going to have to rely on me. And God's doing that same message. God's calling out to every one of you today. You may not be a pastor of a church, but He's calling you to your workplace. He's calling you to your neighborhoods, your family, all the situations that you're involved with. He's calling you out. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Let's go to God in prayer. What we're going to do right now is we're going to pray a prayer, first of all, of submission. We're going to pray a prayer of submission. It's a prayer of humility. It's really a judgment. You're judging yourself. You are putting yourself in front of the Word of God, and you're looking at your life, and you're saying, God, I give you my life today. I don't want to live this life by myself any longer. I don't want to live it for myself any longer. In your own words right now, would you just pray with me? Pray a prayer of submission. Something like, Lord, please forgive me today of all my sins. Cleanse me today of everything that's in my life that's not of you. God, the last thing I want to do is live in darkness. Please take the blinders off of me, God. Let me see the places that I have been so used to living in darkness. God, let me see the places that I have just been so used to feeling my way around the darkness. I just forgot that I was living in the darkness, been lost in it, God, just used to it. God, reveal those areas to me. God, I pray you would take my life the way it is right now. Forgive me, Jesus. Come on, in your own words, why don't you talk to God right now? I can't pray this for you. I can give you example, but if you want to give your life to heart, in your heart to God, go. You have to express it on your own. This is your own moment. Your own moment with God right now. Your own personal experience with God. Lord, I surrender my life to you right now. I look to you to make my life right. I put my trust and my hope in you, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and my Lord. And I pray that from this day forward, I am your son or I'm your daughter today, God. Take my life. I humble my life before you today, God, so that you don't have to humble me. I judge my life today, Lord, so that you don't have to judge me, God. I put my life into your hands today in Jesus' name. And I want you to know, God, that I resolve to live in the light. I don't want to live in darkness anymore. I don't want to live in that. God, I resolve in 2016. Let's make a commitment. Let's make a confession of our faith. And let's make a statement. Let's be resolved in this. That, Lord, we're going to live in the light. We're going to look to you and trust you for the solution, for the power, for the grace to move forward in every trial, in every hurdle, in every issue, God. Even when things are going well, God, let me not forget that it is by your grace that I'm able to have this success. God, if I'm succeeding, God, please let it never go to my head. God, I understand it's because of your grace and your mercy that anything is possible. It's because of you, Jesus. It's because of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you clap your hands with me right now in celebration of what God is doing in your life and all across this church. Man, amazing things are happening at Promised Land. Woo! Hey, we love you here. We're here for you. I want to let you know at the end of this month, January 31st, we're going to have a huge baptism service. We're going to be baptizing people. If you've not been water baptized, I encourage you to come on the 31st, get baptized, bring family and friends, and join us in a celebration. If you would like prayer today, there will be pastors and prayer counselors to pray with anybody today for any need that you have at the front. And if you're not going to be here on the 31st, or don't want to wait, we'll baptize you today. We'll baptize you right now. We'll baptize somebody this week, in the middle of the week. Hey, we're ready. We're ready whenever you're ready. We don't want to stand in your way. We want to help you get closer to God. So God bless you. Go out. Be that salt. Be the light of the world in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. We love you. Have a wonderful week.